Good singing tonight. Thank you for those, Kathy, and thank you for playing. Well, as I mentioned on Sunday, we will not have much in the line of a message tonight. We're holding off on Daniel chapter 6, and I'm glad that you guys still came and didn't miss out on being here. Pastors are always fearful about trying to announce ahead of time certain things about services for fear that, oh, okay, nope, I don't need to go. And it's just a prayer meeting, and so it's kind of with fear and trepidation sometimes you make those kinds of announcements. And I did that, and I thought, well, okay, we'll see. But wanted to spend most of our time really tonight praying. And of course, before the election, not really sure how we should be praying because of not knowing the election results on Sunday as I was preparing for this and thinking about it. But to me, regardless of who won the election, we still need to be praying for our nation. And we might be a little more lighthearted tonight because Trump did win the election than we would be had it been Harris winning the election, but the nation is still the nation, and there's still a great need for praying for this nation. It's nice that we have him there, and God has been merciful and gracious to us in allowing him to be elected as president. And I'm thankful that it looks like we may have a Republican majority in both the House and the Senate. I haven't heard the latest on the House. I know the Senate had been kind of set. They had 52 Republicans and 45, I think, Democrat, and there were still a couple that were up in the air. The House side hadn't reached the threshold of 213, although they were nearing it last I looked. So we can rejoice in many respects with that regard. But it will be now up to the Republicans to deliver to the American people and steer a better course for the nation. They're up to bat, so to speak. And they have got 2 years, at least for the House, to do a job and to do it right so that the American people can see and go forward with the image, if you will, the thoughts, the desires that they have, and really steer a better course for the nation, and I trust that they will. I mean, we've been hearing the rhetoric for 4 years against that agenda that we've had for the last 4 years, and as I say, you're up to bat now. So let's deliver, and may we hold them in prayer to that, and obviously we will hold their feet to the fire in that regard because we get to have another election in 2 years to determine whether or not those representatives did the job that they should have done. Something that I found a little surprising, and then I delved into it a little bit more. I had heard this afternoon, I was listening to one of the radio stations, and they had noted that after Trump's acceptance speech, that the way I heard it, it sounded like the crowd broke out into "How great thou art." And I thought, okay, that's interesting. So I went looking for the acceptance speech and found it, and then I didn't see that. And I thought, okay, I've got to Google a little better, and found that it was part of the crowd saying "How great thou art." And I had a video of it as they had left the main auditorium. There was a group of them singing down one of the corridors that led into the auditorium. And they were singing "How great thou art." So it wasn't, as I was hearing on the radio, that the whole crowd just started breaking out and singing "How great thou art." It was a group of them, that it was it wasn't a small group. And but I appreciate that. I'm thankful for those that did. Because again, we are grateful for our God and what he has done. He's been gracious to us in putting Trump in and bringing him into office. And as I was reminded from one of my pastor friends who had come up, somebody else had made the quote, and I don't remember who it was, but You know, until we have Jesus on the ballot, we will be choosing the lesser of two evils. And that will always be the case, which, you know, I get. It's humorous, but I get it. But we do have that, and so we can thank the Lord. And I trust we could still thank the Lord even if we had had Harris put into office, not thanking him necessarily that she's in office, but still thanking him that his will is being accomplished. And too oftentimes we forget that. It's like, again, I saw online somebody, you know, rejoicing our prayers were answered, and I thought, my prayers were answered 4 years ago when somebody else got into office. God answered my prayer. It wasn't how I wanted it, but he answered my prayer. He gave us an outcome. And we need to remember that. It's God answers our prayers. It may not be the way that we desire it, but God's going to answer our prayers. And we will get what God deems best and fit for us. And again, as we look at our nation, he's being merciful and gracious to us. As I was listening to this radio station this afternoon, early afternoon, as they were, I could tell, kind of stunned, flummoxed, I mean, thankful, but considering the tenor of how they have been talking leading up to this, it's like, you know, Trump isn't going to get this unless certain people allow him to get in there. And now they're kind of, oh, wow, Trump is in, and yes, this is good. And touching on, you know, maybe revival will take place. And I kind of cringe, I thought, it's not going to take place because Trump's in the office. Revival comes from God. And when you look in the Word of God, you often find it in some unusual places. It's not necessarily with the godly people. It's with the ungodly. But God gets a hold of the godly people's hearts. And God does a work and a move. We look at our own history of revivals in our own country. And it is interesting. They're not at high points in our history. They're at low points. They're at points when, yes, we need God and we need God to work. And people were burdened to pray such an end. And God answered those prayers. And so may we realize these things, and I know some of us have been, and I trust we will continue to pray that God does truly bring us a revival. I can't describe it. I can't tell you. I can read you historical accounts about it, but I can't tell you what it's like. I've never been in one. I've never seen one. I've never experienced it. And but I trust that we long for it. Within our own nation, within our own church, with our own state. And it starts at a point in place. And that point in place could be Wheatland Baptist Church in McPherson, Kansas, and spread through from here, just as it does in other, as it has in other places in the past. The prayer meeting revivals before World War, or before the Civil War, started because some businessmen in New York City were burdened to pray. Pray for the salvation of people around them. And they took their lunch hour and they opened up their businesses to just come and pray. And it spread. Not only in New York, but then spread through the rest of the country and prepared this nation for a war that was just 3 years down the road. Spiritually prepared them in that sense that there were now many believers who weren't believers just a few years prior. And so I trust that we will continue to pray to that end. But I wanted to focus just on a couple things tonight as we pray for our nation, and truly that it be turned about. And these, I trust, are familiar verses to us. And I just want to read four verses, you know, mention a little bit, and then we'll take prayer request and take time to pray tonight. And as we do that, I'd also ask, guys, if some of you can stay around afterwards so we can put up some chairs across the back of our auditorium to get ready for the funeral tomorrow. That would be greatly appreciated as we get ready for that for tomorrow. That is a prayer request as we pray for the family of Estelle Regeer with her home going. But Psalm 33, verse 12, Again, these are often verses that we see around this time of year with elections and the like, when things seem to be favorable for us. But Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance." And I would love to say that that's an epitome, that is an expression of our nation. But in all honesty, can we say that we are a nation whose God is the Lord? No, we can't. I wish we could. There's been a time in our history that, yes, the people of our nation could say, yes, we are a nation whose God is the Lord. Doesn't mean that everybody was saved, but there was that recognition and understanding that, yes, there is a God, and we are accountable to him, and we seek to live for him. But we have seen our nation depart from that, and that is what's so troubling. And we need to pray. Can our nation be a nation such as this? Yes. And it comes, again, from us, his children, being the salt and light in our nation, seeking to see the lost come to him. Because that's where it's going to come from. Not, again, not coming from a change in Topeka, a change in D.C., into conservative, into good biblical values, as much as we want that. And I do. I'd love to see conservative values flowing from Topeka, flowing from D.C., enacting things that are right and true and just and honoring to God. Not trying to make us and force Christianity on this country. That doesn't work. They tried it in the colonial days, and that didn't work so well. But to have those righteous laws, those godly laws, ones that honor and glorify God without being a church is possible. I mean, we've had them. And to see those things happen again would be wonderful. Yes, there'll be hooting and hollering about it, but the nation would be the better for it as people seek to embrace those. But again, they'll embrace them as they come to Christ. And so ultimately, may we reach them. Psalm 144, verse 15, along the same lines, David says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case," and he's just kind of given the case of those that are trusting God, resting in him. He says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Now, he changes the words here, and Psalm 33 is an unnamed psalm. It doesn't have an author to it. But he notes a word here. He said, "Happy is," or "blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord." Here it is, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Well, we are a people. And I trust we are indeed happy that God is our Lord. What a joy to know him, to know the salvation that he has provided for us, that he's our Heavenly Father, that we can call on him and know that he will answer us as we seek him. In Proverbs chapter 14, some truths that we see, we've seen it ebb and flow in our nation. Psalm 14, verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And again, we've seen that. Unfortunately, we've seen more of the second half of the verse in our lifetime. "But sin is a reproach to any people." As we've seen, sin become acceptable. Sin is supposedly normal. Whether it's taking drugs, whether it's promiscuous lifestyles, this is normal, this is acceptable, this is okay. No, it's not. Sin is sin. Whether the society accepts it as normal or not is immaterial. God calls them sin. And we've seen that, and I trust that we can see righteousness exalting our nation again. But again, that's not going to come from our capitals. That's going to come from our people turning to God and understanding that the righteousness comes from Him, not from us. And then Proverbs 29, verse 2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And again, we've seen that ebb and flow through our country. It's history, locally, nationally. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. We've had freedoms, we've had joy. Then an election cycle comes. And things change. And then the wicked bear rule and the people mourn. And we've seen that. We've seen that election cycle literally over the last several election cycles. We've gone from kind of a righteousness, a seeking to do right, to a disregard for that and turning from that and trying to usher in more ungodliness into our society as normal, only to have somebody else come in and try to move us back the other way. It's been a great tug of war, if you will, on our nation. But the truths are still there. You know, it is people rejoicing when the righteous are in authority. I don't necessarily know that Trump is that righteous. I would like to think that somebody can reach him with the message of salvation. I appreciate the tenor in change that I've seen in him since his attempted assassination. God got his attention, and I certainly pray that it's not just, yeah, you almost lost your life, but it's what would have happened had you lost your life? Where would you spend eternity? And I pray that someone either has or is still doing so, able to reach out to him and let him know, yes, you were spared by God. He turned your head. He caused you to look at that screen at just the right time. And you're going to answer to him. You're going to stand before him one day. Are you ready for that? And the only way to be ready for that is to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He died in your place for your sins. And I pray that that can happen. And he can come to Christ. Terry.
What was that last reference you gave?
29:2. Proverbs 29:2. So as we come to this time and take time to pray, I remind us, we have, as I mentioned, we have still a great need to pray for our nation. As we know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens the rest of November, December, and January with a lame duck presidency. A lot can unravel. And may we pray that the Lord hold back those efforts that would be there as they see their opportunity has now slipped from their fingers. They're not staying in office for another 4 years. And may God restrain them in these coming weeks and months before the new administration comes in. But we need to continue to pray for our nation. The Lord will be at work in hearts. And ultimately, yes, to see revival take place. God get a hold of our hearts. That's where the true joy and blessedness is going to come from our God. As much as we can rejoice that Trump's in office, and I do, I'd much rather see that we see people coming to Christ. That's a far greater joy to have in our lives. So take that time, just some thoughts as we consider these things and continue to pray for our nation. Lord, to be at work in hearts.